You're listening to the MoneyWeb Now podcast series with Simon Brown. Live streamed every weekday at 6:30 a.m.
Thursday, 27 June, Japanese retail sales 1.7% versus 1.2% a year earlier, hence inflation. I'm Simon Brown, coming at you live and loud from the MoneyWeb Global Headquarters in Johannesburg, South Africa, on the show today. Gary Boyson from Rand Swiss, while we await the cabinet at TikTok. What stocks is he looking? He said his preferred sectors were banks and retail, which are offering best value there. Gary Kutzer, he's from Cape Town Century City Conference Center and Hotel. Confercations, having a holiday and a conference at the same time. And then we're chatting with Alan Gray, endowments and their offshore offering. The show is brought to you by StanLib. Visit stanlib.com to get in touch with one of their investment specialists. StanLib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. Morning headlines from MoneyWeb. Insurance complaints get back 386 million rand in payouts. Policyholders unhappy about rejected funeral and life policy claims. Business Day, former Steinhoff CFO Ben Lagrange granted 150,000 rand bail. He faces several charges, including corruption and racketeering. What are we, almost 8 years after that collapse? Morning markets. US was green, S&P up 0.2% and Nasdaq up 0.25%. The East is red. Sydney, a couple of points, 0.03% down. Tokyo off 1%. Hong Kong, 1.8% lower. And Tencent down 1.2%. Commodities mostly red. Gold, 2,309. Brent, 84.97. Platinum is the green at 1,025. And palladium, 922. Rand, 18.15. Bitcoin, 61,000. Top 40 opening call, 210 points or 0.3% to the red.
MoneyWeb Now on the money. Also available on podcast.
Joining now with Gary Boyson from Rand Swiss. Gary, appreciate the early morning time. We're still waiting for our cabinet. In fact, we voted 4 weeks ago yesterday. I suppose these things take time and we shouldn't complain too much. I said to you, what are the sort of stocks you're looking at for SA Inc? Banks, retailers, what's your preferred in the space? Because there's a lot to choose from and there's a lot of quality and I suspect a lot of value perhaps as well.
Yeah, and I think a lot of your value, yes, and also a little bit of risk. So, you know, if you look at Bank of America report yesterday, they've actually flagged stability over the formation of the GNU. Mm-hmm. If we can't get these cabinet posts done, and I mean, we kind of expect this, I suppose, negotiation and posturing to come through from government, but I think the longer this takes, and we expect it to take a while, the more nervous markets are going to get. And we have had an incredible run in these stocks. So banks and retailers, if you're playing South Africa and a positive future in South Africa, this is the way you play it. And we can see that almost reflecting a little bit in the share prices. So our preferred in the sector from a retail point of view, in the grocer space, as you know, we love ShopRite, and have for a long time. It's really has been a fantastic performer. But even now, with the appreciation of the local currency as well, as the run-up in the share price, you know, if you look at it in its multiple in historic terms, it's starting to get a little bit pricey, but that's really not for us a reason to chop it out of a portfolio. You consider, you know, the let's say the 52-week return of ShopRite compared to something like Pick and Pay. ShopRite, you know, up around 30%, Pick and Pay down around 30%. So our philosophy is always to be stay in the quality. You know, if it does get expensive, that's fine. You probably wouldn't exit it because of this, you know, but it's far better to buy a great company at a fair price than a fair company at a great price. So that's how we think about it. You know, if the kind of political wranglings go on, I mean, we can easily see a little bit of a pullback in the share price, but that will just be the opportunity to then top up the portfolios. So that's our kind of grosser play. We also like Mr. Price. That's more fashion value. Mm-hmm. Again, we're in a tough operating environment in South Africa. There's no question about that. We have high interest rates. It's difficult. So, you know, Mr. Price, obviously a cash retailer, you know, almost 90% of their sales are cash sales. And they've managed to deliver decent growth for shareholders. Part of this is announced, obviously, the Studio 88 acquisition, and it's their aggressive store rollout. So, you know, 2025 planning to open another 200 stores. And even though we do have competition from the likes of Temu and Shein, the numbers just back up that customers in South Africa, they like to go in store, and they're backing Mr. Price as a brand and like their offering. And we can see that in the underlying numbers. So that's kind of our retail focus. And then from a banking point of view, Standard Bank, FirstRand are our preferred again. It comes down to the numbers more than necessarily the any sexy story about it. But you look at the ROEs, FirstRand, Standard Bank, much higher ROEs than something like Absa or Nedbank, and you can see that also in the underlying performance. Overall, also getting more expensive, but still very, very cheap compared to international peers. And I think again, they've been a great place to be as we've seen rising interest rates. They've really protected capital. They've helped to enhance portfolio returns. But remember, markets are always going to be forward-looking. So I think if we're looking for a stock today to take advantage of a better South Africa over the next 3 to 5 years in an interest rate environment that might be falling, something that you could potentially look at is something like Coronation, which, yes, it's had a big run up, but in a falling interest rate environment where financial conditions are loosening, suddenly you will see equity marks positive. You'll see that coming into the stock. And of course, this week we also had the resolution of their tax dispute, which is very important for the company. And on a 10% dividend yield, it's hard not to find it attractive.
Yeah, and Coronation, about a 2 rand special dividend as they give that 800 million provision back. I like it, and I like it. It's quality. We're not scraping any barrels here. I mean, some are a little more expensive than others. Looking at you, ShopRite, but we have some great SA Inc. stocks on our ball. So we leave it there. Gary Boyson, Rand Swiss, always appreciate the early morning time.
Your money knows that reaching new heights means turbulence. But what if you don't have to feel it? Our partnership with JP Morgan Asset Management gives you access to a broad range of global strategies. So when you invest in StanLib's Global Multi-Strategy Diversified Growth Fund, your money can withstand the ups and downs caused by market fluctuations. Seek more returns at stanlib.com/more. StanLib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider.
MoneyWeb now. On the money.
I'm chatting with Gary Kutz, the CEO of Cape Town's Century City Conference Center and Hotel. Gary, appreciate the time. An email hit my inbox recently with a phrase I'd never seen before, confrocation. Let's start with, what is a confrocation?
Morning, Simon. Thanks for having me. So confrocation is the combination of when you're in Cape Town attending a conference and then adding on a vacation. I think Cape Town has been well known for all its tourist and leisure activities and scenic spots such as Table Mountain and Cape Point for many years. Mm-hmm. And we indeed have a beautiful city. And we've been doing a lot of work to drive the business tourism to Cape Town over many years and getting people to host and attend conferences in Cape Town. And now we're trying to merge the two because we're seeing a lot of people when they're here attending a conference or event, both from local South Africa and international, they say, oh, I wish I'd stayed on a little bit longer. Yeah. I wish I'd planned a bit better and we'll definitely be back. But we know that only 50% roughly do actually indeed return. So we're trying to encourage people now to plan ahead and make the most of it, bring a spouse and stay on for vacation after or before attending a conference.
I want to dig more into that, but before we do, conferencing is back. I mean, 4 years ago, your conference center would have been, completely shuttered during the pandemic. There was a slow return, but my sense is that we can really say conferencing is back. Are we beating pre-pandemic levels?
Absolutely. In fact, we're surpassing pre-pandemic levels. We always try and look at the positives of COVID, and although they're few, one of them is that people now really appreciate the human interaction and getting together and appreciate the value of attending an event in person and the networking and relationship building that goes with it. So, to answer your question, in fact, we well up probably around about 45% on pre-COVID levels. So it's looking really positive.
That's properly chunky. The people attending conferences, I mean, obviously a lot of it is local. Do we also get a lot of international incoming conferences?
For sure we do, specifically in the medical field. We find with our universities being so strong and popular with great academics in the city. We're quite popular for medical conferences, both pharmaceutical as well as medical association conferences. And that association conferences draw delegates from across the globe. So you've got the top professors and doctors and so on from all across the world really converging on the city.
And what sort of markets are the foreigners coming from? Or is it just kind of a bit of everywhere?
A bit of everywhere, but we do see mostly Europe, UK specifically. And with the ease of access now with flights from North America, we've got Delta landing 7 days a week in Cape Town, United as well. And I think Delta's increasing their flights to about 10 a week from October. So North America is becoming a lot more popular than ever before. And we're focusing a lot on the Asian market as well at the moment, with visas becoming a little bit easier with the e-visa for the Chinese market and ease of access into Johannesburg. We still don't have a direct flight from China into Cape Town, but that market is starting to grow and obviously a lot of opportunity there as well.
I was going to say, I mean, I hadn't actually thought, of course, flights is a big issue. Direct certainly helps. You can fly via Joburg, always easier to go direct. But the visas was something that really struck me because I was going to say, you know, as a government, we see a lot of selling South Africa as a tourist destination. To your point, we can double that with conferencing. And the key point there, you can go and chat with associations around the world, but it is those visas and making that easier has significant implications potentially.
Absolutely. I mean, we should even be consuming these many countries. I think there's probably about 50 countries that for Chinese citizens that they don't need visas. Mm-hmm. There's another 30 odd where they can land in a country and be issued a visa on arrival. And many of those countries are competitors to us within the MICE sector. So the easier you make it from a visa point of view, as well as air access into the city, the lot easier it will be in terms of attracting those big events. We do have a beautiful city and a country that everybody wants to come and visit.
Yeah,
so much going for us, but it's also a lot to do with how easy it is when you're trying to arrange 500,000 people, 2,000 people to travel. It's about where it's easiest to get to.
In conference, I hadn't actually thought. I mean, I've been to conferences, but I mean, for me, a big conference was 50 people. These conferences run into hundreds, thousands of people. And then on top of that, potentially spouses and family.
Absolutely. So our conference was purpose-built for that 500 to 1,000 people. So that's where we sit in, and we privately own, which you don't often find in the conference space. Most conference centers around the world and even in South Africa are government-funded.
Yeah.
And so those really like the CPICC cater for your 2,000 and up. And so we sit in that mid-market where we're bigger than what some of the hotels offer in terms of their conferencing space. And a little bit smaller than the big CTICC convention centers. But absolutely, when you've got 1,000 people traveling to an event, the opportunity for them extending and staying longer, and we all know what the economic impact of that is from a hotel spend, restaurant spend, shopping, and all the leisure activities, it's endless. And then obviously, the knock-on effect on the job creation, which is something that we in the Western Cape and, you know, with working with local government, focusing on is trying to get one job into every home within the tourism sector.
Yeah, and tourism is a huge multiplier effect on jobs. We'll leave it there. That's Gary Kutzer. He's CEO of Cape Town Century City Conference Centre and Hotel. Appreciate the time.
That's our poll today. I got to say, I like this idea around confercations. Yes, looking at you, MoneyWeb bosses. How about a Cape Town one? We're asking you, have you done this before? I never heard of the concept before. Have your vote, have your say, LinkedIn and Twitter.
Your money gives a damn. If it could protest and sign petitions, your money would. But your money can do more than that. When you invest in Stanlib's infrastructure investment fund, beyond getting solid returns, you are helping to build a more sustainable future through job creation and positive economic growth. Damn right you are. Invest for more impact at stanlib.com/more. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider.
MoneyWeb now on the money.
Chatting with Janae Kutzer from Allan Gray, talking offshore endowments. Janae, appreciate the time today. I suppose let's step back first in endowment. I mean, my sense is it's got a couple of benefits. One of the big ones is for the right person, it is a significant tax benefit.
It is indeed. So Offshore endowments specifically are investment-linked long-term products that are suitable for investors who want to, first of all, diversify their portfolio across economies and regions outside of South Africa that have a marginal tax rate of higher than 30% and require a product that also offers estate planning benefits as well.
So the higher than 30%, that part I did know about. So obviously, if you're at the 40 or the 45, even better.
Exactly.
But anything above 30 works. Help me with the estate planning. How does that factor in?
The estate planning?
Yeah.
Well, with regards to an offshore endowment or endowments in general, you have the ability to nominate beneficiaries. So when the policyholder then passes away, there's a seamless transfer of wealth either to your beneficiaries for ownership, if you want ownership to transfer to them, or to your beneficiaries for proceeds if you just want the proceeds to pay out seamlessly on your death. So they don't actually have to wait for your estate to be wound up before they receive the benefit.
Yeah, and that can be. I mean, estates is, I mean, at the short end, it's probably 9 to 12 months. At the long end, it's potentially longer than that. You mentioned long-term. Are these lock-in products? I mean, is it liquidity or is it buy now and hold for a duration?
Look, generally speaking, endowments do have certain rules and restrictions that they need to adhere to. But what we've done within the Allan Gray product is we've found a way to structure our product in a way that allows for a little bit more liquidity or flexibility within the restriction period by creating a structure that's got multiple underlying policies so that you have a little bit more accessibility to your capital within that so-called restriction period.
Okay, that's quite cunning. So to me, it looks like one policy, but actually it will be multiple littler policies that kind of sit as one and give me that flexibility. Is there an ideal period? I mean, to make it tax efficient, is there an ideal perhaps 5-year period to hold for, or is it a case of longer is better because that's how markets work?
Look, we're all investing for the long term, especially if you're placing your assets offshore. Mm-hmm. But the restriction period that generally governs these products is a restriction period of 5 years where you're limited to access within the product, but you can invest for as long as you like, depending on obviously your specific needs and what you're saving for.
Gotcha. Okay. So 5 years, but truthfully, as you mentioned, it's a long-term product. Longer is always better. And as I understand, the way that Allan Gray structured this, because a lot of the listeners out there are saying, well, so what's in the endowment? You've actually got flexibility of choice. I mean, within reason, but you've got a range of options that a prospective investor can actually include.
Yes, 100%. So what we have available through the product is you can choose from a range of unit trusts offered by both local and offshore managers when you're constructing your investment portfolio. So we give you that flexibility of choice in terms of the underlying investment portfolio as well.
Okay, so that's interesting. You mentioned local there because this is an offshore product and we'll come to some of that in a moment. But I could actually then turn around and say, well, you know, depending on what the cabinet looks like, maybe I'll actually want to get some local exposure, I could invest back into the JSE and into ZAR.
You can. So what we're offering to the offshore endowment is foreign denominated unit trust funds, but we do have local unit trust funds available on our local platform as well if you do want pure local exposure or to the South African market as such.
We're talking offshore. Is this with my externalized monies or could I do it in ZARs as well? Do I need to have dollars or, I don't know, euro, sterling, whatever the case may be?
Great question, Simon. So yes, you are investing at the end of the day in foreign denominated unit trust funds. But let's say you've got rands to invest and you would like Allan Gray to facilitate the foreign exchange from your rands to foreign currency. We can actually facilitate that using our authorized dealer to exchange your rands into foreign currency before investing them into these foreign currency unit trusts. And as you mentioned, all of us as South African investors, well, over the age of 18, have the ability to take money offshore according to the exchange control manual. And those restrictions are you are allowed to take 1 million rand over borders without the need for tax clearance, and then an additional 10 million rand per calendar year that you'll need tax clearance for. So you can take up to 11 million rand per calendar year, but you can actually take more than that. But for that, you'll need special clearances.
Yeah, and of course, it's 11 million a person. So if it's a couple, well, then suddenly it's 22 million. And
exactly.
As you say, you can get special clearance from SARS. A lot of folks are unaware of that. You go and chat and have a cup of tea with the commissioner, and he might give you a little more money. We'll leave it there. Gnaya Kutsia, Alan Gray, really appreciate the time today. That's it for today. We were chatting the two new listings yesterday. Psilocybin and, of course, Rainbow came through on Wednesday, Psilocybin on Tuesday. We asked if you were buying either. Pretty much half of you said, nope, not either. A fifth of you wanted chickens. Wowza. Rest split between the cannabis and a bit of both. Have your vote. Have your say. LinkedIn and Twitter. This show is brought to you by Stanlib. Visit stanlib.com to get in touch with one of their investment specialists. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. We're live every weekday morning. The MoneyWeb website and the app, 6:30 a.m. podcast, just after 7. Thanks to my team, Eddie, Nobuchle, Nicole, to you for listening, my guests for their time. My name is Simon Brown. This is MoneyWeb Now. We'll chat again tomorrow. Jubilee Metals.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb Now podcast, posted every weekday at 7 a.m. on moneyweb.co.za. MoneyWeb Now, on the money.